straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated.
On Second Thought, episode 266, brought to you by Hook'em.com, our good friends at Bud Light. Sed Golden here with the Duck, Kirk Bowles. Duck, it's been a minute.
It has been a minute. Where have you been keeping yourself?
Well, you know what? Before we're at the second day of all Big 12
media day.
We survived one day, and we're going to hit the Longhorns hard here, and then we're going to hit new commissioner Ray Yarmark. But first, let's talk about vacation. Because we both took some vacation time.
Yes, we did.
Don't you tell me what you tell our listeners what you did.
Well, my lovely wife Vicki and I went to wine country in Sonoma County.
You're a winer, that sounds right.
I am a winer. John Makovic taught me well. And I went to a lot of vineyards. We were in Healdsburg, California.
Where's that?
It's I think it's a couple of hours north of like San Jose.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it's very cool. The temperatures were a little chilly, 60s and 70s, but it wasn't too bad if you wanted to wear a jacket.
Quit bragging.
It was heaven, said. It was like, 60s and 70s, and sometimes it get up in the upper 80s, mid 80s, but it was just paradise. So we got away for like 8 days and just kind of relaxed and just drank some wine under the palm trees. How about you?
Man, I had a nice vacation. I'm full disclosure, I'm taking two more weeks after this
I'm
week.
I'm taking one.
And you're taking one. So y'all enjoy this little podcast because you probably won't see us again till August.
Absolutely.
Won't see us again till August. I chilled out. After I covered the UFC event at the swanky new Moody Center.
Big time.
Man, they filled that place up. What a great event. Shout out to Dana White. Went to Vegas on Sunday the 19th.
Did you make a deposit?
Made a huge deposit. Yeah. Made sure that Vegas was back.
Keep their economy going.
Yeah, I wanted to help out. I did my part. Saw the new Top Gun movie. Loved it.
That's a great movie. I gave it 9 ducks.
Yeah, watched the old one.
Yeah.
On the flight up. And I don't think I watched the old one back
in
the day.
Well, you mentioned that to me. I can't believe you wouldn't watch it.
It's a little nerdy for me. I wasn't in airplanes.
It was, but
I don't think I watched it. So I really enjoyed it. And then watched me and my cousin Pooh Choice, my college roommate, John Keith, the cop, and Victor Diaz
of
Spectrum News, all went out to Vegas together, went to that movie, came back. And got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Came back on Wednesday.
It was your turn.
Got the COVID on. Was tested positive on Saturday, and stayed in bed the whole week.
Mm-hmm. And you had all your shots.
I had all my shots and the booster.
You're no Kyrie Irving.
I'm not Kyrie.
Yeah.
And I was careful. I'm a mask guy. I wear a mask in the grocery store.
Careful.
And so I don't know where I got it, but I got it. And so. Maybe it was that masseuse that had a coughing fit
in the middle of the massage. Yeah, that's enclosed area.
And I in the middle of it, I asked her, I go, is this real life? I mean, is this real life? Is this like a Deshaun Watson revenge tour? I don't know what it was. But anyway, I took off a week after I got sick, and I came back last week, and I'm about 90%.
Yeah.
About 90%.
So you had time to watch the Wimbledon. That was great.
Oh, my God.
Kyrgios.
If Kyrgios got a lobotomy, he would win Wimbledon.
If he could harness talent and concentration.
It's between the ears.
It's all between the ears. It was so hard to watch a man of that kind of talent wasting his opportunity. He may never get to a final of a major again.
He might not. But the one thing that we talked about, and I'll tell anyone else, those old guys, they can't play forever.
No.
Roger is 40.
Yeah.
Rafael Nadal is like 35, and the Joker is like 35. Mm-hmm. Those guys can't play forever.
No.
One day, Kyrgios only 27, so maybe in two or three years, he may have a chance.
I think his window
is closing. He should have won one long ago, but his attitude on the court has always held him back.
I don't know if he's distracting his opponent or just distracting himself. You just think, I mean, he was talking that whole match. It was like Jordan Spieth on steroids. He was talking so much.
He was.
And credit to Djokovic for you know, keeping his concentration.
The great ones persevere, and they don't worry about external stuff.
And, you know, my wife and Zachary, our youngest, and I went to Wimbledon about 5 years ago.
I remember.
Oh my God, I so want to get back. I haven't ever covered a Wimbledon, but just going there was wonderful. And you and I both have mentioned the U.S. Open tennis.
Once I retire, I'll go.
Yeah,
I'll go.
But we're closing in on football season, and this week is just kind of the entree, the prelude.
Wednesday was the little appetizer.
Kickoff.
Yeah. You know, you had the mullet. You had the mullet, Mike Gundy. He was holding court. You had
Dave Aranda.
You had Aranda,
the conference favorite.
Yes.
Dave Aranda.
And you also had the new outgoing commissioner Bob Bosby, incoming commissioner Brett Yormark. More on them in our next segment. Today is Tea Day. The Texas Longhorns will arrive in Arlington, and at 12:35, your guy, Steve Sarkisian, fresh off a 5-7 debut season, Duck, lost to Kansas. You got a shot in on Wednesday. We heard you. We saw you on television, Duck. When you asked Leipold, you beat Texas. What's up with that?
Twice in 6 years, Kansas.
So what's up with that? So yeah, that was a shot to the bow of Longhorn Nation. But I'm not living in the past.
No, you're
I'm
not.
I'm looking ahead.
You're rose colored.
We're rose colored glasses. You got OU's Brent Venables this morning at 10:35. Joy McGuire. Tech at 11:05, Iowa State's Matt Campbell at 11:35, TCU's Sonny Dykes at 12:05, and then the Sark Machine.
Got the heavy hitters
rolling in at 12:35, and we'll be accompanied later by running back Bijan Robinson, he of the Lambeau. Backup running back Roshan Johnson, who I'm sure is the only backup running back that's ever been to the Big 12
Absolutely.
Media Days.
And we both know he could be starting for
at least six or seven
other teams.
Who brings a backup?
Yeah.
Ovi Agofu.
Yeah. And the quarterback will be here, right?
And Agent Zero, DeMarvion Overshawn, who is not the quarterback, Doug.
No, I don't see quarterback on that list.
You don't see Quinn Ewers.
We don't see Hudson Card.
You don't see Hudson Card.
We don't see either one.
You don't see Malik.
Wow, why didn't
you? You don't see Sam Ellinger. You don't see VY.
Times have changed, so.
Have they, Duck? Have they changed?
Well,
there's uncertainty for a second straight season at that position. And I think there's more this season because Casey Thompson gave us a glimpse of what could be when he lit up Utah in that Alamo Bowl.
Yes, he did.
But these two guys, what have we seen from? Last time Quinn Ewers played in a football game, he was at South Lake Carroll.
He did. And both of us think Hudson Card will be the backup, and Quinn Ewers
Absolutely.
Will start against
Absolutely.
Louisiana Monroe. But, you know, Sark's a different cat. You know, I've said that before, is that, you know, we all thought Casey Thompson outplayed Hudson Card in August.
Absolutely.
But a lot of the other media didn't, and they said, oh, no, it's Hudson Card. He's the guy. And ultimately, he was the guy, at least for two games or a game and a half.
Yes.
And then he switched to Casey Thompson the next 10 starts with a thumb injury that, you know, severely limited him. So he could start Quinn Ewers and bring in Hudson Card at halftime of the Alabama game if things go poorly. I don't think he's wedded either one of these guys. And here's a big reason, because he knows how important that position is, having played it at BYU. And how much wiggle room does Steve Sarkisian have after a 5-7 year?
You got to get it done in your sophomore season, Duck. You can't be sitting there thinking it's going to be all good with that non-conference schedule.
We signed a 6-year deal, but is there any guarantees here for those six?
Who's the last coach to play out his contract? Been a minute.
Well, Mac Brown played out some of them. He kept getting extensions.
But Charlie didn't make it.
There is
Tom didn't make it.
Big time pressure on Sark. And, you know, if he were to turn in another 5-7 or even a 6-6 season, the Wolves would be baying at the door.
About
that.
They will be. And the one thing that scares me if I'm a Texas fan, quarterback, Duck. is the most important position in all of sports.
No question.
You can't win.
No.
These days with a game managing, ball dumping off.
An average quarterback.
Average doesn't get it done.
You better have a defense like Georgia. If you're in, I'm not calling Stetson Bennett average, but most people probably thought he was, and he had good moments.
But he had, but he had the 85 Bears defense.
There wasn't the pressure on him to produce like there will be a Texas quarterback, because
any quarterback can win if you're only giving up 11 points a game.
And you wrote about the defense earlier in the week, and what did they give up? 425 yards a game.
They were ranked 100th in the country.
That ain't good.
That don't cut it. You're 100th in the country with a Big 12 schedule, Doug. This isn't the high flying Big 12 of old, where they were lighting up the scoreboards and sending quarterbacks to the league on the regular. No, this is a Big 12 where running backs like Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson and Deuce Vaughn, those guys took center stage ahead of the quarterbacks. This isn't a quarterback star league anymore.
No, but Brock Purdy's gone. Oklahoma's too. Competing starting quarterbacks are gone. Jerry Bohannon from Baylor.
He gone too.
So Spencer Sanders, he kind of had a comeback year.
It was okay.
Fallback year. I just wasn't impressed with him. We don't know who Joey McGuire is going to start at Texas Tech. But West Virginia's got JT Daniels transfer from Georgia coming in. So you're right. It's not a – got Adrian Martinez, the Nebraska quarterback. He's at K-State.
You don't look at these guys
that are going to be drafted by the NFL.
Exactly. You don't look at those at that roster you just mentioned and go, oh, my God, those guys are going to be playing on Sunday.
Yeah, that's a gauntlet.
You had a feeling that Sammy might make a team,
which he did make a team. Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, Colt McCoy, Kyler Murray.
Absolutely.
Those guys move needles. They've moved needles in this league. And, Sam Bradford, those guys move needles. Sam was as close as they had to a Heisman Trophy candidate at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
So I don't expect it to be a largely offensive league this year. I don't. But I do wonder if the little general, Gary Patterson, will be a gold mine for Sark and PK. With his knowledge as an analyst.
Wait a minute. How do you define gold mine? And I, too, think Gary Patterson will be a big help.
Don't you think Gary Patterson is at least worth 50 fewer yards a game for a defense? You don't see them giving up 375 instead of 425.
I'm just saying, how many tackles is Gary Patterson going to make? How many quarterback sacks is Gary Patterson going to make?
I love that question.
So
how much better tackling technique is Gary Patterson going to teach? That's the question.
Yeah.
How much pass rushing technique? Gary Patterson brings a wealth of knowledge of defense.
We both agree.
He knows
these
Big 12 streets.
He's a defensive guru.
He's a guru. He made TCU relevant.
But TCU wasn't good last year.
No, they were not.
That's why he's gone. He got fired. And he's got a statue of himself outside their stadium.
I think they'll give up less than 400 a game.
Who do you see on their defense that you go? Yeah, there's a couple of all-stars. We've talked about Overshown should be all-conference caliber, but he's kind of been hot and cold. He had a great Oklahoma first half. He thought he was Dick Butkus out there.
Well, he did, and he had a good bowl game.
He had a good bowl game,
but he's not consistent.
No.
He's not consistent.
And they don't have that perimeter edge rusher.
They never have.
I asked Sark in the spring, I said, do you have somebody that – capable of double-digit sacks? That's kind of overrated.
No, it isn't.
You want one guy that the offensive line has to account for.
With two guys. To open it up for everybody else.
And Texas doesn't have that.
They don't have close to that.
I was looking at the All-Big 12 team preseason, and how many players Texas had on it?
On the first team?
First team, offense and defense.
Offense, Bijan Robinson, Xavier Worthy. I would say those two.
Okay, how about defense?
Maybe DeMarvion, if any.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think that was it. I think they had three. And I think K-State had a bunch more.
K-State had more than anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's K-State, you know. So it's like, so I minimize the Gary Patterson impact a little bit just because, you know, he's as good as the players he's coaching out there. I think he's going to benefit this. But they just don't have dynamic elite playmakers, the difference makers that, you know, like Osai when he took over that Oklahoma State game.
That was great.
You make four or five plays.
He got drafted that night.
You get a turnover. You get a big sack on third down. And they just don't consistently have that player.
Aren't you kind of surprised that those defensive tackles turned out not to be as great? They may end up being good, but I'm talking about Alfred Collins, Snacks Colburn, those guys in the middle.
You don't see a Puna Ford.
No.
Or anywhere close to like a Casey Hampton if you really want to go back.
Or Roy Miller.
I really thought Alfred Collins would be much
because he had a huge bowl game.
Yeah, and then they put him inside.
Which I didn't like that move.
Well, and you know, you and I have talked about Jatavion Sanders, why he's not an edge rusher. He had a good spring game as tight end. He's got good hands because he's a good athlete, but is that the best use for him? Because they've got tight ends with Billingsley coming over.
I would love to know what Mad Dog Jeff Madden's thinking right now, because it was the great Mad Dog who pulled Henry Melton aside, who's playing a 250-pound tailback,
and he goes,
"Do you want to play in the league?"
Yeah,
and Henry Melton goes, "Hell yeah, I want to play in the league." You need to be defensive end.
Need to be on the line.
You need to be on the line. That was a $3 or $4 million piece of advice.
Yeah.
Because Henry Melton ended up having a nice NFL career.
And that's what coaching is. Part of it's evaluating, you know, putting people in the right spots. And I think we've yet to see that from Sarkisian and his staff yet. So, I mean, there's reasons for optimism. You know, number three recruiting class in the nation.
But does that help you right now?
No. Well, it's going to help you marginally because, I mean, they had 15 linemen.
Yeah.
I think it was 8 and 7 D-line, O-line. And some of those O-line are going to, if not start, they're going to be playing a lot
early.
How
many true freshmen can you play?
Well, when you got a guy like Banks and Campbell, you know, a 5-star and a high 4-star.
Those guys play right away.
They're going to play right away, I think. Because who are they beating out? They're not beating out, you know, Dan Neal and people like
that. Or Justin Blaylock.
So I think they're going to get their feet wet early. I mean, you got Alabama week two. So what are you waiting for? So, again, that goes back to, you know, carving holes for Bijan Robinson and protecting one of those two quarterbacks. So there's just a lot of question marks. And as good as the offseason has been with, like I said, the number three class, Arch Manning's commitment, and all the, well, what would they get, like 9 players after that?
Mm-hmm.
So he's got it.
Fours and fives.
He wins the offseason, but the season is what matters.
And I look at it like this. All of this stuff has happened in a spring where they didn't have a draft pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
And
second time in what, about 6 years?
Second time, I think, since 2013,
yeah,
I want to say.
8 years.
And so I write a column saying, Sark wasn't here.
Mm-hmm.
He's only been here for a year, so that's not on him that a guy didn't get drafted. These are guys that he didn't recruit.
And you wrote that.
And I wrote that.
You wrote that.
I also wrote, the clock is ticking on Sark.
I'm sure it is.
And the reason the clock is ticking is because in 3 years or less, you're leaving the Big 12, which you haven't won since 2009.
It's been a minute.
For a membership in the SEC, which is housed by Alabama, LSU, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, Aggie.
Mm-hmm. What's your point?
The point is, first of all, that was a money move. And sure. I mentioned that in my column today. That was a money move, and I get it. That's fine. But second of all, if you're not winning there, the pressure is real. I mean, if you're not winning the Big 12,
You ain't going to be winning the SEC.
The pressure is really ramped up to win in the SEC, and I don't care what pod they put you in. If you're in a pod with Alabama and Oklahoma and Aggie.
Doesn't matter. You're going to be playing 8, 9, maybe even 10 conference games, and you're not playing
against
Vanderbilt
against
every
top
week.
10 potential exactly. teams. And so the pressure is ramped up on Steve.
Yeah.
The pressure is ramped up on a coach who is, he is 34 and 32 in conference.
That's it.
As a head coach at three schools. He's 51 and 42 all time. That doesn't exactly instill fear.
Or confidence.
Or confidence. But I'm gonna judge a book by its cover right now. It's a 5-7 cover, Doug. Mm-hmm.
Can't get around that.
And Arch won't be here this fall. So Arch ain't riding in on a white horse this fall. You got to figure out how to win pre-Arch. Because, and people got mad at me, and I wrote it, I go, it's a verbal commitment. If Arch Manning decides he don't want to play here, Arch Manning ain't got to play here, Doc.
Yeah, see, now you're scaring people.
I am scaring people, but I'm being real about this. I want Arch here.
Well, anybody.
I want him here. He's box office. I want to be able to walk up to Peyton Manning on the sideline
anybody
during a game.
Anybody can change their mind. He doesn't strike me as the type that will.
He doesn't.
And he committed after 5-7. So
he
it's
did.
Not like he's coming in here blinded to the struggles that have gone on.
But I'm not talking about 5-7, dog. I'm talking about 2022. What are you going to do in 2022? Is Arch Manning coming here if you put up another 5-7?
So much is on the line.
So much is on the line.
He's
your present day is on the line.
But you don't think
your future is on the line. And Sark's livelihood is on the line this fall.
You don't think schools will negatively recruit Texas goes 6-6, do you?
No.
They wouldn't do that.
No, they're not going to slide in. They're not going to slide in Arch's DMs. They're not going
to
do that.
Nobody would try to change Arch's mind.
They're not. Lincoln Riley ain't going to call from the West Coast. Kirby Smart's like, he decided he's going to Texas. I know I've got an unproven.
There's a gentleman's code.
Yeah,
that they
there's a
will
gentleman's code.
By.
I respect Sark, and we're on the same staff. We understand.
But you hit the right
game.
Tone. You go 6-6. You know, and that would make you, what, 11-13 in 2 years?
Yeah, and does Arch Manning want to come in here and take a beating?
I don't know.
Why would he?
He'd better see improvement this year. That's the bottom line.
And
got to see improvement this
and
year.
One other thing, Doug, Arch Manning doesn't need the money.
No.
Cooper Manning is a millionaire.
Yeah.
Uncle Peyton's a millionaire. Uncle Eli's a millionaire.
Cooper's done
Grant,
great.
Grandfather Archie is a millionaire, Doug.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done well for himself, so... That kid's a blue blood. That kid is a Huxtable. He doesn't need it.
No.
But he's a football player. And the football player wants to play. He wants to do what his two uncles and his granddad did.
Yeah, don't
he
you
wants
think,
to go to the league.
Don't you think, you know, Arch and Eli got tired of losing at Ole Miss?
You know they did.
You know, so he's not coming in on a white horse. He may come in on a white Jaguar, you know, but –
No, a white Aston Martin, Doug.
Maybe an Aston Martin, the vehicle of his choice. But like you say, this is a very critical season, you know. Yeah, it's just his second year for Sark, but he's got to show improvement. No question about it.
One thing is for sure. There is no doubt the Big 12 is open for business. We will leave no stone unturned to drive value for the conference. Just as I pledged to the board, we will be bold and humble, aggressive and thoughtful, and innovative and creative. All in an effort to position the conference in a way that not only grows the Big 12 brand and business, but makes us a bit more contemporary.
Duck, that was the voice of incoming Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark. The Big 12 is open for business. Does that mean that they're going to win football games too, or is this just a money grab? I know the two are intertwined.
It's a business. Don't get ahead of yourself. Just if they're open for business is a good sign in these days.
Well, 7-Eleven's open.
Well, I know. That means they're in business. It means they're not closed. They're not closed for repairs. And, you know, it's funny. I think the Big 12 has a real chance, and I wrote about this in the paper this morning, is they've got a real chance to prosper. And they are in a position, said, where they can form a third super conference if they do the right thing and they get aggressive and they convince, not just invite, if they can convince not four but six Pac-12 teams to join them in the better positioned Big 12 that just invited four teams. This has the safe central time zone where the Pacific Coast time zone doesn't hurt you anymore.
Let me get with you on that call. That was a good column, Doug. You brought it. You brought it. And one of the which one of those coaches yesterday said,
"I'm not going
thank
there.
You for everything you do for college football." That was Lance Leipold.
No, that was
it?
Neil Brown.
It was Neil Brown from West Virginia. Okay, those guys love you. I just think they did it because you're old.
I slipped them a 10.
Okay.
It was nice of him.
That'll go further in West Virginia than it will in Austin. Good, good for him. But I like the column. So you're saying, I want you to explain this.
Okay.
So you're saying a Big 12 with the 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 remaining teams,
mm-hmm.
minus Texas and OU.
Well, they're adding four next
should
year.
Adding Central Florida, Cincinnati, BYU, Houston.
Right.
You're saying they should add Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, Utah, Oregon, and Washington.
Thank you very much.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Why not Stanford?
Well, why didn't Big Ten invite Stanford? You know, one thing about Stanford, it's kind of the academic snobs of the country. You know, they look down on inviting a Texas Tech or an Oklahoma State. They've never wanted BYU.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now they're sitting here having lost USC and UCLA,
yes.
They're thinking, oh my God, now we're down to 10 teams, and do we go get San Diego State? Do we get Fresno State? You know, and they think that's beneath them. And my thing is that if the Big Ten wanted Oregon and Washington,
they would ask by now.
Wouldn't they've already asked? And maybe, obviously, they're waiting on Notre Dame,
of course,
to make up its mind. And you got an odd number if you get Notre Dame. So maybe they go back in and get a Stanford so that when these East Coast and Midwest teams travel west, I'm talking tennis, golf, men and women's basketball, you can play three teams and knock them out, you know, to lessen some of the travel. And everybody that I've talked to up here says USC and UCLA didn't want Oregon. They didn't want Oregon to come with them because those are rivals. And I think they're also a little scared of the Phil Knight, Nike money.
Big money.
In terms of NIL deals, you know. And here's $1 million.
Why wouldn't the Big 12 want some of that Nike money?
I think they would. That's why I say invite him. Because mm-hmm. at this point in where we're at in this era of the super conferences, it's about survival first.
Yes, sir.
And then if you can get a couple of brand names – like Oregon, like Washington, like Stanford, if you can get them. They won the Director's Cup 25 years in a row. If you could get all three of those, and, you know, I don't know how much Colorado brings.
I don't think they bring a whole lot of cachet anymore.
They bring the Denver market, just like the Arizona schools bring the Phoenix market.
They bring some good parties on road trips,
well,
legally.
I don't know if that's a selling point or a detractor.
I don't think the kids would complain about that.
No, they wouldn't. But,
or the coaches, for that matter.
But, you know, a lot of it, if you get these eyeballs because, you know, they're negotiating TV media rights, you know, after it expires in 2024-25. And the streaming services like Apple, like we talked about at lunch yesterday.
Apple's coming for DirecTV Sunday Ticket in 2 years.
They're going after the NFL. They went after MLS. They got money and deep coffers.
They got iPhone, iTunes money, dog. They got big money.
Cable is on the outs, and streaming is in. That's where the kids, you know, watch their sports and their entertainment.
Hulu Sports, YouTube Live.
I see all of them kind of getting in on this sports craze.
This is the new era. Cable's dying a slow death.
One thing, I was talking to Mike Gundy yesterday, the Oklahoma State coach, and I love him. He's so tapped in.
Love the mullet. Love the mullet.
There's security in numbers right now.
Mm-hmm.
He said the conferences that have the smaller numbers, it's a lot easier for them to go away. And he's right, which is why the Big 12 should have invited these four Pac-12 teams several years ago. Remember they were asking for audition tapes?
Mm-hmm.
And they had like something like 19 schools said, pick us. And the Big 12 said, nah, we're good. And I think Texas and Oklahoma probably nixed it because they knew they wanted to go to the SEC. So, but I don't know. There is strength in numbers. You get more at the table. And so you have more inventory for ESPN or Fox or NBC or the streaming services.
To that end, Duck, we walked away with outgoing Commissioner Bob Bowlsby, friend of the podcast. We really like Bob.
Yeah, he's good.
And I asked him. I asked him to that end. I asked him about the future of a Big 12. And I mentioned the past where they stayed at a certain number. Here's what he had to say.
Bob, a few years ago, you guys decided to stay with 10 teams. Is it feasible to survive in this new world with just 12?
We'll find out. You know, I think that's the process that we'll go through, is a determination whether that's the new day or whether there are, you know, as Brett said, anybody we add has to be indeed additive. You can't add people that are going to just take more slices of the pie. So, you know, that's a very calculated, long thought about outcome, and that's the process he described. That's what we'll be doing, and I think he's right that decisions will be made in the context of what best positions us.
He played it very political.
He did.
He stayed. He kind of stayed between the lines. They're in wait and see mode. I don't think they can survive as a 12-team league without Texas and OU. I'm going to tell you, Duck, if Texas and OU stayed and they were 12 teams, mm-hmm. and they added two, if they added USC and a UCLA, okay, that would have been sexier.
Well, sure it would, but I don't think USC and UCLA had any interest in the Big 12.
No.
But you could have lured these Arizona schools and Colorado and Utah back mm-hmm. then when they still had Texas and
yes.
Oklahoma. But now the thing the Big 12 is trying to avoid is getting merged into the Pac-12 and become the new bigger Pac-12.
They want to be the Big 12 with those Pac-12 cast-offs.
They want to draw from the Pac-12. They don't want to be absorbed into the Pac-12.
If you're the Arizona schools, are you more excited about possibly taking a leadership role with Oregon and what's left mm-hmm. of the Pac-12? Or do you think the Pac-12 is going to die and you need to get off that ship and jump on with a Big 12 that you know is adding teams?
I don't think they think they can survive or do well in a 10-team Pac-12 without those two anchor flagship institutions. I think they know that. So I think those are the discussions going on right now, is that are we better served in the middle of the country with the Central Time Zone? You know, I'm an AP top 25 voter. I have been since like 1979. And I stay up late watching those Pac-12 games.
You're nuts. I don't know how Vicky puts up with that.
I don't either. That's hard to explain. But, you know, and I'm not sure every voter does that. You know, it's like much easier to leave a team out. Like, I'm going to
bed.
You
know those New York voters aren't up watching that.
Yeah.
There's no way.
But
up till 4 in the morning.
So if you're in the central part of the country, in the friendlier central time zone, you don't have to play games at 10 in the morning or Pac-12 after dark where maybe fewer people are watching. So I think they would take that into consideration.
Plus when you come to Texas, or, you know, you go to Waco or Norman mm-hmm. or Lubbock, when you fly back.
Yeah.
You're not getting, unlike the Central teams, you're not getting back home at 3 in the morning.
Exactly.
You're getting back home at a decent hour, if you play a night game.
And that was a big factor why Texas and Oklahoma and them ultimately pulled the plug on going to the Pac-12,
mm-hmm.
you know, back when. And, you know, Doss Dodson has always told me that if we were going to leave, we were probably going to go to the ACC.
He said it because of the time.
Take advantage of the East Coast time zone.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come back, you're gaining an hour. You're not flying back from the West Coast and losing 2 hours.
Yeah, because you play a 2:30 game. Mm-hmm. You play a 2:30 game on the East Coast in North Carolina.
Right.
You get on the plane at 8 o'clock Carolina mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
And then you're back at 9:30.
Reasonable time.
That's reasonable.
Absolutely.
Be in bed by 11, feeling good.
So I asked Brett Yormark yesterday,
mm-hmm.
and I said, so give me the reasons why y'all should absorb Pac-12 teams and not be absorbed. And he said, well, it's a good question, but I don't really have an answer for you, you know.
He didn't have a whole lot.
They were very short on specifics, mm-hmm. you know. So I think, you know, the jury's still out, and, you know, Bowlesby and Yormark both said nothing's imminent, which probably means it's imminent, you know, because it can change like in a snap of a finger. So, but this is a great opportunity, I think, for the Big 12.
Huge opportunity.
Position itself with a chance to be that third super conference.
Yeah, Doug, I mean, Big 12 has a shot.
They do.
Big 12 has a shot. But for right now, the Texas Longhorn, the Oklahoma Sooners are not going anywhere anytime soon. And so we're going to get Brent Venables today. We're going to get Steve Sarkisian today. Right. What are you going to ask those guys?
Oh.
I'll tell you what I'm asking Brent.
Go ahead.
How involved are you going to be in offensive meetings? You're a defensive guy.
Yeah.
How involved are you going to be?
Right.
Because Lincoln Riley was by far an offensive head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Bob Stoops had a little bit of both. But
well, he was a DC by trade.
Yeah.
But he became
an offensive guru. So how many of the meetings, what are you going to be bringing to those offensive meetings? What are you going to ask Sark?
He's going to bring a lot of fire. Venables is. I know that for sure. He doesn't really respond well. What did you learn that you didn't know? Or, you know, that sort of thing. And I know they fall back on the, oh, we're tighter, you know, communications. Remember with COVID, they were, you know, having meetings in, you know, ballrooms or stuff like that. They weren't in their locker room. So I think there's more stability, I think. But
are we talking about Texas?
I'm off the field.
Stability. Okay.
So I guess I would ask him instead. You know, he's not going to answer about quarterback or anything. You know, I'd probably say, you know, how crucial is your non-conference? Because you've got a Louisiana Monroe team you should easily handle. And you also have a UTSA that won 11 games last year.
Don't overlook the tractor trailer.
Yeah, absolutely. And then to have Alabama coming in, you know, Nick just doesn't lose to former assistants. So, now, what I would ask him, what could an Alabama win over Alabama or a competitive loss do for your program?
It'll help. It'll help.
Huge.
But he won't say, he'll go, well, we're not into losing.
No, we'd want to win every game, you know, that sort of thing.
But I'm going to tell you.
You're going to ask him.
I'm going to ask him, how short's the leash?
His leash?
No, the quarterback leash.
Oh.
Whomever starts, if they get blown up in the first half against Alabama, are these guys close enough in competition where you will pull the trigger on and give the hook to a Quinn Ewers or to a Hudson Card like you did in Arkansas?
Yeah, and along those lines, do you think you made a mistake in picking Hudson Card last August?
Oh my God, that's such a good question.
And why did you pick Hudson Card? You know. I don't think we'd get an honest answer because, well, we're not going to revisit the past.
He's going to say that.
But to switch it, and he should have switched at halftime to Arkansas. It wasn't until almost the fourth quarter, if I remember correctly, when he put Casey Thompson.
You know what, Doug? That might be the question. What did you learn from giving Hudson Card that early hook? What did you learn about learn about your evaluations? What did you learn about real-time game v practice, and how will that help you be a better coach this year? Because he's got to be better, Doug. He has to be better.
He knows that. And maybe he'll change in the way he handles this quarterback. So it'll be interesting. Can't wait.
Well, Doug, we are going to do something special next week. And this is not official, Doug, but – We're going on vacation, but we're going to try and do a special podcast for next week. We're going to try to get a very special guest on, and that's called, in radio business, that's called a radio tease.
Yes, a tease.
And if you hear from us next week, that special guest is going to be front and center.
And you're going to be on vacation.
And I'm
still working.
Oh, you're working next week.
I'll be in Atlanta.
But you won't be doing a podcast. See, we ought to do one, but I don't know if I want to come on vacation while you're living it up with Olin Buchanan That's living it up for you.
You know how many questions I ask.
All the questions going to be asked.
But we'll visit again.
In hot Atlanta. But if we get that guest, we'll also get you calling in.
Great.
From Atlanta. That's
going like to
be
a plan.
Fun. Sounds like a plan. That will do it for episode 266 of On Second Thought. Enjoy today's finale of Big 12 Media Days. And I know you enjoyed me and the duck chopping it up. For Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Seth and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.